Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All righty. Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Friday morning. What is it? The 10th day of October. So what does that tell you? I was... Wrong. It's hard for me to say that, but indeed, that is the case because I told Dan Buck and I had a sort of a bet that the government shutdown how long it would last. I said 10 days. So it started on October 1st, which means today is the 10th, and I was wrong. It has gone on longer than I expected. I think all of the polling, there's a new Harvard poll out this morning, all this stuff that says the American public believe the Republicans are in the right here, and it's the Democrats that are shutting the government down. I think the Republicans are winning that argument, and I hope they will stick to their guns here and not cave. But, you know, you never know what's gonna happen. Let's see. What did Buck say? He said 17 days. Which would give us 6 or 7 more days. I think maybe by the 15th or 16th, he's probably right, and it may well be that this thing finally gets reopened. I think when the first checks start to bounce, that may be when things finally start to happen. I don't know. We'll see about that. But in the meantime, I am in here with Ethan this morning, and everybody is gone. Can I just tell you that? So
one of those days.
So, of course, St. Ange is out with a baby on maternity leave, so we get Dan Buck to fill in. Dan's here usually 4 days a week. One day a week, he's usually got other business to attend to. So this is that morning, and Dan's off this morning. We knew that going into today. So Scott Jagow was supposed to be filling in for Dan today. And then this morning at O'Dark 30, about 4 a.m., we got the notification via email, I think.
Yes, sir.
Ethan, that Scott is under the weather. So Scott is sick. So then we're scrambling to find somebody to at least read the news, and that's hard with 1 hour's notice. Not many people are up at this hour. So we did get somebody from down the hall there to help us out with the news at the top and bottom of the hour. But you've got me and Ethan in here holding down the fort this morning for you. And Sue is out today. She's off. Is it Trent who's bringing us traffic, we hope?
I believe so. We hope so.
We think so. In a few minutes, we're going to find out if indeed Trent is the one that's going to be bringing us the traffic. But no matter, we got you covered. I just want you to know that no matter what happens, we're here for you. We've covered all the news from yesterday, the overnight breaking news that some liberal Biden judge in Chicago, nonetheless, has announced that, well, she's putting a 2-week temporary restraining order on Donald Trump's horrendous effort to maintain peace in Chicago. Like, you can't, she's told him he cannot send federal, National Guard troops in to protect federal buildings. Can't do it. She actually had the audacity to argue that the president of the United States does not have the power to send United States military troops in to protect federal employees. That's what they're there to do. I don't understand why that offends people so much. Why does that offend people? So remember when the guard had to be sent in so that when they segregated schools so that black children could walk into school without the risk of being, I don't know, hit or injured or attacked or have rocks thrown at them? How is this any different? I don't see it as any different. You got people shooting at ICE employees. I know it happened in Dallas and not in Chicago. But that's where it's next. I know some of the crazies that live in Chicago. They're incensed that Donald Trump would dare to stand up to them. Bear in mind, these are people that have never had consequences for anything in their lives. They've always been in the everybody gets a trophy crowd, and they don't know what it's like to lose. And when they do lose, they throw temper tantrums, and in some cases, they become violent. They can't believe that you're not letting them have their way. And that's what you're seeing in these protests across the country, and that's what you're seeing. That's what you're going to see on the 18th. So 8 days from now. What day of the week is that, by the way? I have not. Is that a Saturday? My guess is that's a Saturday, although it won't matter because most of the people marching in the No Kings protest don't have jobs anyway, so it's not going to matter. But coming up on the 18th, which is indeed October 18th, is a Saturday. Next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, they're going to have a nationwide No Kings Day, with more people out protesting. And here is my I'm so sad about this. I just have to tell you, Ethan, I'm so sad about this. The last time this happened, it was like pouring rain or something, and I drove past their little protests, and I waved my Trump flag, but I decided it was not worth me getting out and getting soaked like these idiots to engage with them. So I decided if they ever do this again, I'm going to wear my Trump shirt, and I'm going to go down and ask them exactly what it is about world peace and no crime that offends you so much. I decided I would take it upon myself to do that. So what do? They schedule one on October 18th when I'm going to be out of town.
Of course.
Taking my daughter to a college visit. And I can't be here to go challenge these numbnuts who are going to be lining the streets. I'm sure they'll be out at their normal places there on Brentwood Boulevard. And they usually line up out near Manchester and Wideman Road and block up the parking lot of another one of my favorite cigar lounges out there. Triple Leaf is at that corner. Every time those idiots go out there, they have to put out an email saying, hey, just by the way, just so you know, there's some kind of a protest scheduled out here. Parking may be at a premium because they fill up the parking lot with their little Subarus and Priuses. So they can go out and protest. So that's coming up on the 18th. Just so you know. So if you can make your plans now to go harass them, or just let them be. Those things typically have not gotten violent. It's just let them gather in mass so we know who they are, right? Because these are the many of them will be paid protesters. Not all of them. The assorted fruits and nuts that live in the greater St. Louis area will come out in force that day. So you can see them, and that way you can recognize them the next time you see them, because you'll know who they are. As if Donald Trump is a king. Did you know that he's a king? I've got a soundbite this morning from none other than the Raging Bull, Robert De Niro, and he's big mad because you know Robert De Niro. What is he? 5'8"? He'd kick Donald Trump's 6'4" butt if he had the chance. Take him out behind the gym, which we know is complete garbage. He's an actor. He was never a boxer. He's an actor, but he seems to think he's some sort of a B.A. Baracus, but he's not. And I would play the bite for you right now, except that I'm not sure I've got the clean version of it edited yet.
Yeah, let's not do that then.
I've got the not clean version of it edited, but I don't have the clean version of it edited. I've got Drew working on that in there for me right now because this guy. Wait. This says clean. I'm going to play it.
All right. I'm going to put my finger over the dump button.
I'm going to play it. Here it is. Robert De Niro. Listen.
The original No Kings protest was 250 years ago. Americans decided they didn't want to live under the rule of King George III. They declared their independence and fought a bloody war for democracy. We've had 2.5 centuries of democracy since then, often challenging, sometimes messy, always essential. And we've fought in 2 world wars to preserve it. Now we have a would-be king who wants to take it away, King Donald the First.
There. Thank you, Drew, for doing that for me. I appreciate that. Yeah, there. He's so. Do you really think Robert De Niro is calling for a bloody revolution? We fought a bloody revolution. And my guess is back then, Robert De Niro would have been fighting for the British. But regardless, there's no way to go back in history and prove that. I was just a little surprised that he is calling for a bloody revolution. You've got Brandon Johnson up in Chicago saying, well, Donald Trump, these people on the extreme right wing in this country, they're trying to refight the Civil War. What in the bloody hell does this have to do with slavery? You've got people who violated your laws by breaking in the southern border, and you're telling them they're going home. What's that got to do with the Civil War? These people are complete morons, and the rest of us have to deal with them. That's what we've got on our hands. And they're coming on the 18th to a street near you, and darn it, I'm going to be out of town. Maybe they'll be where I am. I might have to go look for them. I doubt they're going to be in a campground, so probably not, because those sorts of people don't tend to go camping. I'm going to stereotype them. Let's put it that way. All right. Again, I've gone a little long here in this segment, but since I'm all by myself, I got all the time in the world this morning. I think what we'll do next here is get to a quick break. We'll get to our national anthem, and we'll get to our top stories when we come back. Stay tuned.
St. Louis Conservative. The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
Nobody's going to be forced to leave. No, it's just the opposite. This is a great plan. This is a great peace plan. This is a plan that was supported by everybody.
Yeah, it's true. There's President Trump once again talking about the Middle East peace plan, and it's at least been signed at this point. I will wait with bated breath for the hostages to be released. I hope that happens. We're now told that could be Monday or Tuesday.
Pritzker is trying to protect people that are
They're more scared of the anarchists that are on the street and the politics of it than they are of doing the right thing.
That is absolutely the truth. Kristi Noem is dead on there. J.B. Pritzker is more worried about a couple of whiny anarchists who are on the streets in Chicago than he is protecting the lives of innocent citizens from those idiots. And I just don't understand why you would ever be afraid of a few National Guardsmen standing around a federal building. How is point to the doll and tell me where that hurts you?
This is not about immigration. This is not about crime. This is about enacting fear.
Brandon? Oh, Lord. Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago. I'll get it right. This guy is just such a loser. They ask him questions. He just talks in circles. He thinks by signing an executive order, he can ban ICE from certain areas in his city. Did he even graduate from high school? I don't even know who this guy is.
Obviously, the President of the United States has a lot of interaction with a lot of people who are very pro-Israel. I think that was an important set of experiences in life. He also, of course, knew one of the most famous Palestinians in the world, Chuck Schumer. And I think without that background of knowledge, it would have been impossible to get us to this moment.
I love that. Vice President J.D. Vance roasting Chuck Schumer yesterday. And boy, does Schumer deserve that. Top of the list, Schumer deserves that. And I just tell you that guy is Jewish. And he's potentially been the biggest enemy of Israel in our government, honestly, in conjunction with the Biden administration, actively worked to undermine the only Democratic ally we have in that region, Chuck Schumer. And I mean, not that I ever had any respect for the guy, but wow, good for you, J.D. Vance, for calling him out for what he is, because he's not a whole lot better than AOC or Ilhan Omar or the others who have been pro Hamas and pro Palestine for the last 2 years since they dropped in by parachute and paraglider and gunned down innocent Israelis. That two years ago, that happened. Barely just 20, just over 24 months. And how quickly memories tend to fade. I love the story this morning about the fact that on the streets of Israel yesterday, there were people outside waving Israeli and American flags, celebrating this, celebrating the fact that we have a possibility for the first time. I don't know. I would almost say realistically, for the first time in at least 25 years, right? That there may be a cessation of hostilities. Briefly, there may be a cessation of hostilities over there. Like Clinton tried, but Donald Trump has succeeded where all of the rest of them have failed. Do you understand that? Because he was able to bring together a coalition of Arab and Muslim countries over there. He helped eliminate the Houthis and weaken them. Syria is a complete mess. It's a void now. Like there's no organized government at all in Syria. So Hamas is terribly weakened. All of these people that Iran used to use to poke the bear are either eliminated or weakened. And now Iran is still suffering from the bunker busters we laid on them, and they've been eerily quiet. They're keeping their heads down right now. All of these things didn't happen in a vacuum. All of these things happened because Donald Trump went over there and started making changes and approached this from a perspective nobody had done before, or at least nobody had done successfully. Because they were afraid. They were afraid of Iran. They were afraid of the Houthis and these other groups that were basically acting on behalf of Iran.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now what we've done is we've hamstrung them. They don't have to worry about that anymore. And with that pressure off of them, they were able to come to the table and say, yeah, we support this plan. We think this is the way to go. These are some of the same countries, not all, who were in the Abraham Accords. Well, guess what? Now they'll all sign on to the Abraham Accords, which means they're economically cooperating. And once you have economic ties with another country, going to war with them is a lot harder because you're hurting your own economy when you do that, which is why there's a very real possibility of long-lasting peace out of this, assuming, and we're dealing with people who have mental health issues in Hamas. Let's face it. The leaders of Hamas are not rational people. So we have to all hold our collective breath that we get the hostages back on Monday or Tuesday. And in the meantime, somebody over there doesn't decide to derail this whole thing by launching another series of attacks. Could happen. I don't know. I did want to check in with Jonathan Savage this morning. Fox News Radio has made him available from Israel on this tenuous peace deal that they've got signed at this point. We'll get you a live update coming up after the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned.
Nobody's going to be forced to leave. No, it's just the opposite. This is a great plan. This is a great peace plan. This is a plan that was supported by everybody. I mean, as I said, they're dancing in the streets of many, many countries right now. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. No, we're not looking to do that at all.
Yep. President Trump yesterday talking about what's going on right now with this deal and who would be in or out or forced to leave. We've got Jonathan Savage back with us from Fox News Radio, who's been reporting on this, of course, doing such a great job over the past months covering this. Jonathan, good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning, Mark.
Yeah. Yesterday, I saw a picture, a long line of people returning to the north part of Gaza, like just a mile long, you could see off into the distance. What's that all about?
Yeah, tens of thousands of people. I'm seeing the same pictures as you are, streaming back along coastal roads to the north of Gaza because the ceasefire has come into effect less than 2 hours ago, in fact, and Israeli troops beginning their withdrawal back to pre-agreed lines. This is giving Palestinians in Gaza the opportunity to move back into areas they haven't been to for some time. Now, when they get there, they are going to find scenes of utter devastation and destruction, neighborhoods unrecognizable to the ones that they had left. But they do want to go back. They want to see what's left of their homes and businesses and start assessing what it's going to take to bring their normal lives back again. They are, of course, feeling enormous senses of relief. Hamas has been assured by the U.S. and others, they say, that the war really is going to end now. So for Palestinians, they will be wondering what the future now holds.
And maybe wondering what they return to. So from this side of the pond, we see all the images of rubble and buildings collapsed. For the people that are flooding back in there, what are they going home to? I mean, they must still believe they have a home to go back to.
Well, they don't know. They probably suspect the worst, but they want to see for themselves. And they perhaps, having lived in tents and other makeshift accommodation for enormous amounts of time far away from their home neighborhoods, they want to see whether it's going to be possible to build any kind of residence where they are, but also probably want to collect or retrieve any belongings that they're able to collect. Some may be fortunate enough to go back to a building that is still standing, still habitable. So there's an awful lot of uncertainty there.
Jonathan Savage with us reporting live this morning. What is this scene in down in Israel? I don't know if it was Jerusalem or one of the other towns where it was described as people celebrating in the streets, waving Israeli and American flags.
Yeah, Hostages Square in Tel Aviv has been the center of focus for many Israelis for the last 2 years and 2 days. It's a place where there have been protests, where families of hostages have camped out. It's very close to where the Israeli military is headquartered, so it's a very important location for them. So at Hostages Square, that's where people gathered to celebrate the news that the hostages who remain were going to be returning home. And we have seen many American flags being waved there as Israeli flags. President Trump, far more popular in Israel than the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is at the moment, and many of them expressing their gratitude for the end of this war.
Hopefully. Wow. When they said, Jonathan, that they hope to have the hostages back Monday or Tuesday, I also heard a report, probably on Fox this morning, that they weren't sure, the Hamas that is, where all of the bodies were. So they may not get all of the remains back of hostages who died. Is that correct?
That's correct. What Hamas say is that the number of bodies are under the rubble of destroyed buildings that have been destroyed by this war, and they will need time to locate and retrieve the bodies. We are hearing that there will be an international task force involved in assisting that process so that the remains can be returned to Israel as soon as possible and that their loved ones can begin the process of grieving their loss.
It is just such a surreal picture. Going back to what Jonathan and I were talking about here at the top of the interview, there's a live picture. The one I'm looking at right now happens to be from the BBC. But there's this long picture of people walking down a street, a few trucks involved, driving back toward this what is Gaza. You can see some buildings standing in the background. And the contrast is just to the left is a beautiful ocean with waves coming in. I mean, if it wasn't a war zone, you'd think it was a coastal resort. I mean, what's happened here is such a tragedy on so many levels.
Yeah, the Mediterranean Sea, which borders Gaza, it's a really important sea because it's the border between Europe and Africa and Asia. It's a location which is known for its beauty. It's a sea which is known as a place for tourists visit in their millions every year. And of course, President Trump earlier this year had this idea of turning Gaza into a Middle East Riviera. That has gone by the wayside, I believe, because, of course, many Arab countries rejected the idea of Palestinians being forced to leave. And President Trump now says that won't be the case and Palestinians will be involved in the rebuilding of Gaza more than he had previously imagined. There is now an opportunity to rebuild Gaza in a new way and rebuild the lives of these people in a way which hitherto was unimaginable, especially for them if Hamas is no longer involved in administering Gaza.
Yeah, well, we'll pray that that is what ultimately happens there. Jonathan Savage, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Good to get his thoughts on the whole idea of turning that into Gaza Lago has apparently gone by the wayside. But here, imagine where we've come in 7 months. We're 10 months in if it's October. So in 9.5 months since Donald Trump got sworn in on the 21st of January or whatever the date was, to where we are today. And, you know, remember how he lit the world on fire when he was outrageous enough to suggest this place could be a Riviera with a right on the ocean and they could turn it into this. What a shame that it's not, right? What a shame that the Palestinians allowed these terrorists to take over. They did. They voted them in. Then they couldn't get rid of them. It was like the guest you invited and then you couldn't get rid of them. And then they started brainwashing the masses to all hate Israel, and now they've turned the place into a complete mess. You pretty much have to get those negative influences out of there in order for it to ever have a chance. And I'm still not convinced that even with the assistance of other Arab countries in the region, that they'll never completely eliminate that. I couldn't envision, and I won't be around to see it, but 50 years from now, what Gaza is going to look like. I mean, the potential is great. If you look at this picture I'm looking at, the ocean there, the beach is beautiful. If you cut the picture diagonally in half and just looked at the ocean, you'd think you were looking at a resort town. There are people actually walking down along the beach in this picture. And then you got all the refugees up from it on a road, walking back with probably all their possessions in the world on their back to the rubble that they're going to experience. And I'm not being critical by that, because I support what Israel did here. I support it 100%. They allowed the terrorists to attack their next-door neighbor, these Palestinians did, and then hellfire and damnation rained down on them, as it should have. The argument, well, we may not be able to return all of the bodies because some of them are trapped in the rubble of buildings that the Israelis blew up. Well, the reason those buildings were targeted is because you built your camps for your terrorists in the basement of hospitals and the basements of schools, and you fired rockets from the roofs of those buildings. And the Israelis often would warn the residents ahead of time when they were about to fire rockets back. Guess what? Your friends shot at us from the roof of this building today. If you live there, we're going to give you 3 hours to get out. So I don't know how that could have been handled any differently. Short of, you know, completely invading the country, which they've tried to do to get these pockets of resistance. So glad we were able to get Jonathan on to talk about that a little bit this morning. It is the live pictures are pretty amazing of people streaming back into Gaza from the north. It gives you confidence looking at that picture that the reports are real, that treaties have been signed, and that apparently both sides, at least initially, intend to stick to it. So we'll continue to cover that for you if anything changes on that front this morning. We'll get to a quick break here. A little later, we're going to get to Steve Bucci from the Heritage Foundation. Everybody's off today, right? J.J. Garofano is on vacation or traveling the world, or I don't know where he is. Love that guy, but he's not around. So I asked him if they had somebody else who was a specialist in defense and foreign affairs, and Steve Bucci is going to join us at about 7:20. We got Congressman Eric Burleson a little bit later. We're going to get you a live update on what's going on up in Chicago, where the judge thinks she's going to stop Federal National Guard troops from going up there and helping out. But I think that'll be appealed pretty quickly. We'll get to all that and more coming up. Stay tuned. I love the naysayers because they really don't care. Some of the trolls on Facebook or YouTube, it appears this morning, talking just ignorantly about what's gone on in the Middle East and with Israel. This is no different you could do it on a much larger scale if you wanted to us having a neighbor, let's say Mexico, who routinely lobbed bombs across the border into Texas or Southern California. It's no different. If Mexico's stated goal as a government was the annihilation, the elimination of the United States, that's what they've stated. They'll never be happy until they wipe out the entire United States and it doesn't exist anymore. We would be on a constant war footing with Mexico. Now, we'd crush them, which is also, coincidentally, what the Israelis do when their crazy neighbors challenge them. And they've been doing that since way back in 1967 when they got attacked and they kicked butt about 10 or 12 miles and push their enemies back. And then they decide, you know what, we're just going to keep this as a buffer zone because you people are crazy. And then, of course, their enemies started calling those occupied territories. Well, they're not occupied territories. If there's a war and you gain territory, guess what? To the victor go the spoils. That's your land now. So if you're not man enough to take it, you might get it taken away from you, and that's exactly what happened in the 7-day war. That's what happened, and they've been attacked ever since. And I got this nonsense on Facebook this morning, YouTube, trying to argue that, well, Benjamin Netanyahu supported Hamas or propped him up or, you know, whatever that nonsense is. Do you think Benjamin Netanyahu supported a terrorist organization? He has long wanted to wipe them off the face of the earth. There's probably he's a hawk, and that's just what you need in Israel. If you love to read novels, I love to read novels constantly, particularly spy novels, things like that. There is there's an author out there. His name is Daniel Silva. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. But I know Tim Weber here on Facebook this morning will not enjoy this series because it is pro-Israel. But it's a fantastic series about one of their top Mossad agents who travels the world and wreaks havoc on these radical Islamic terrorists who are constantly posing threats to not just Israel's existence, but other peaceful nations around the world. Fantastic series. I'm probably 12 or 13 books into it so far, and there are fortunately a number more to go. But if you're looking for a good read, the guy's name is Daniel Silva, S-I-L-V-A, and you will love this series. A friend of mine turned me on to it, and I was happy. Like I love the Brad Thor novels and things like that, which I can get lost in. Like I'll read one. My problem is when I read books, I devour them, and I have a hard time not spending every spare second digging back into the book to see what's going to happen next. It's just it's a great way to take your mind off what else is going on, or in this case, to cheer on the Israelis and the Mossad as they attack their enemies. So don't buy into this nonsense. October 7th, all you need to remember, whatever intelligence failures, and there were some, didn't allow the Israelis to see that coming, I'm sure they're going to dig into that. But as Benjamin Netanyahu said in the days after October 7th, we'll deal with the failures here. But in the meantime, if it was the United States, it was the equivalent of 38,000 people being slaughtered at once. The American equivalent to the 1,200 people they lost in Israel would have been 38,000 residents. Can you imagine what would have happened in this country if that had happened? And then to think how we would have felt as a nation if other countries would have criticized us for our response to that. Think back to 9/11. And anybody in one of our allies in Britain or Europe would have said, whoa, 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 we think you need to slow down here a little bit. There's no reason to go after Osama bin Laden. Well, we would have laughed at them. So that's the equivalent of what we're seeing here. Yeah, I'm going to eat crow. So Tim says I will eat crow when BB gets convicted by his own people. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Netanyahu's been the best thing that's happened to Israel in a long, long time. There's no doubt about it. I mean, in America, we say all the time that at the times of this nation's greatest peril, it has just so happened the right person has been in charge. It's true. And we've got another great example of it in Donald Trump. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The shape. Do you think this war would be over if Kamala Harris was president of the United States? Do you think the southern border would be closed if Kamala Harris was president of the United States? Of course not. We faced an existential crisis with open borders and other drugs being brought in and fentanyl. And we're putting a stop to that. I'm having a conversation with my wife the other day. She goes, Why are these? I told her the story about the fact that Mexican drug lords were now threatening American travelers to Mexico, and she goes, "What are they mad about?" And I'm like, "Well, we're blowing up their drug routes." What do you mean? I'm like, "Well, we use our intelligence to figure out which boats have the drugs on them, and we're using drones to blow them out of the water." She goes, "I have a question. Why didn't we start doing that 20 years ago?" And I'm like, "That's a great question." So that's where the common sense comes in. So you stop that. You tell the cartels, hey, if you want a war, just ask for it, because you are an extra governmental organization. You control the Mexican government, even though you're not part of the Mexican government. We're not all that worried about the Mexican government. But if you really want to go to war with us, we'll send a few special ops troops down there in the middle of the night, and you won't know what hit you. It's time for the 800-pound gorilla in the world to stand up and reassert some control, because nobody else is going to do it. And Donald Trump understands that better than anybody, that you need leadership, you need a strong America, peace through prosperity through peace is what that's going to be, peace through strength. And we're starting to see that. All right, coming up, we're going to get to, we'll get you a check of business next hour. We got in of the news. Ethan and I are going to be handling that today. And there's a great new poll out that shows the Trump administration winning on just about every single argument.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.